And all that it is tonight has brought me to this place. I appreciate it. And the place is where I just want more and more of God. The more that I hear, the more I want, the more eager I am to go out and to put into practice the things that I'm learning. I'm learning of my Savior. Precious lessons every hour. Every hour there are lessons to be learned, and we are grateful unto God for them all. The book of Hebrews, we want to look at a thought of Scripture tonight. We need the help of the Lord. I need your prayers tonight. Hebrews chapter 4. The first verse says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." That verse, let us fear. Let us be aware and alert and awakened. There are promises that God has given, and they are not idle promises. They are not simply something for you and I to know and not to do anything about. They are to be received and lived and just allowed to work out in our lives, these promises. May God bless us with this. We don't want to come short tonight, see? I don't want to come short. I don't want to come to a place down near the end of the line and maybe at the end of the line and be measured by God and by His Word and Spirit and come up short. I don't want to be short. I don't like to be short. I don't like to go down to the market and go and pick out a basket of things and get up at the line and find out I'm short. It's embarrassing. It's a bad place to be in. You want to kind of and go out of crack somewhere. Why did I think better? Sometimes it's just an oversight. I've gone off and just left billfold and everything. Thought I had it. And get there in line and they really look at you. How'd you get here in the condition you're in? You're short. It's a bad place to be in to be short. And it pays now. I kind of check on myself and I pat around and shake and see if I got everything. I'm going in here and I don't want to come up short. I don't like that. And there seem to be some folks that don't mind at all coming up short. I mind it. I want to be everything that God is calling me to be. I want to experience this Christian life, don't you? All that goes with it. I want all the tears. I want all the laughter. I want all the experience that God has for us. Everything. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to talk tonight and trust the Lord to bless us tonight about spirits. Spirits. They're everywhere. You have a spirit too. I want to read now here a very blessed verse, two verses, 12 and 13, here. Listen to what it says about spirits. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Word of God is able to locate, it locates our spirit so concise, precise, accurately, till it's able to divide the soul and the spirit. Now, God help us. Let's believe the Word of God tonight. The Word of God divides the spirit. The spirit I like to describe and think of the spirit is of man as the part of man that really, that's really who he is. That's really him. That's him, see? You've located his spirit. You can smile at me and talk to me. And that can be so far from the very spirit you're of. See? Oh, it's possible to mask that kind of spirit we have. We can dress it up. We can clothe it. We can cause it to be camouflaged. But God's Word comes along and divides and isolates and identifies the kind of spirit we're of. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's a revealer. The Word of God is a discerner. The Word of God uncovers. The Word of God goes down deep in a man and breaks him apart. And we can see for what it is. I remember having some algebra problems explained. And as a skilled instructor, broke it apart. It began to make sense to me. I began to understand. I began to see what he was talking about. There are things in our lives that we need to have broken down and separated so we can understand why I act like I do. Why I fail to have the victory that I'm supposed to have. It has something to do with your spirit, friend. Something to do with your spirit. Why does God dig around like this? Listen, says piercing. Piercing. I remember, and wasn't just when I got saved, I remember being pierced by the Word of God. Amen. I remember it coming like a dart. I'm sitting here, and I'm saying amen and nodding my head, and all of a sudden, praise God. I felt that. That entered in. That pierced me. It penetrated. All that I was and am and hope to be has been penetrated by God, by His Word and His Spirit. Oh, friend, when you're pierced by the Word of God, that's the only time you can get help. That's the only time you can begin to deal fair with exactly how you appear in the eyes of God. God will be faithful to every one of us to pierce, praise the Lord. Amen. I remember when David was a small boy, smaller anyway, and we're traveling along, and he's fascinated by the army convoys, tanks and big trucks going down the road and big flatbed and so forth. And we pulled in a rest area, and the army outfit pulled in. And he ran over, and he's talking to the soldiers. And I got in on the tail end of the conversation. He was asking them about some of their equipment. And I heard the sergeant explaining. He said, this particular piece is an armor piercing. And that caught my eye and my ear. Armor piercing. He says, we use this. This will penetrate anything the enemy has. It defies the armor and just breaks right on in on it. I want to tell you something, folks. We are like that. We kind of have armor. And we kind of have places that we fortify in our lives. And we kind of have things in our minds that we kind of protect and hold on to, and things about us that are well situated and put in a place where it can't be touched by anything. But be it known unto you tonight and unto me also that the Word of God is armor piercing. He'll get into your thoughts. He'll get into the way you do things. He'll go into the chambers that you have so preserved and held back, glory to God. He'll pierce right in. Praise the Lord. I think about when the disciples were seated and the doors were closed and they're huddled up there and Jesus walked through the wall. Glory to God. Oh, you can't keep him out. You can't hold him back. He's able to penetrate. He is the Word of God, is he not? He is the Word of God. Oh, I'm glad he pierces. I'm glad about it, praise the Lord. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice. You know, it's a wonderful thing. I read another piece one time. They stopped a man in Michigan, I believe it was, for a traffic violation. It wasn't really serious. And issue a ticket for some violation. And the man was so heavy that when the police stopped him, he just said, I give up! Well, officers, just thinking you're going to get a ticket for making this improper turn. He says, oh, I give up. I'm so thankful you guys finally got to me. And the officer listened, got to him. Well, when he began to dig in and he began confessing, this man had a long list of things that he carried around that had been things that he held in. But at the sight of the police, at the sight of authority, there's something there that penetrated and just gave up everything. I'm going to tell you now. You holding things in your heart and mind, the presence of Jesus Christ,
because you say, I give up. I give up. I give up. Oh, friend, tonight I pray that we'll realize in the presence of the Lord, nothing's hidden. Nothing is undercover. Nothing He doesn't know everything about. I'm amazed at how we think that we're going to meet God and somehow have something undisclosed before His almighty presence. We're already disclosed before God. We're already wide open before God, folks. He sees clear through us. Oh, that makes me tremble. And these words add to that fear that I have of God, that holy awe, that reverence of God. You know, I respect and have a high reverence for my mother. As a child, she seemed to read my mind. And I would come in and she'd tell me things and they'd be true. And I'd wonder, how'd she know this about me? That's my mother. She knows me, see? God knows us better than our mother knows us. Well, what are we saying? We're saying that in His presence, the best thing to do is just surrender and let Him heal you. Let Him wound and let Him heal. Let Him pierce and then let Him heal. Praise. Open it up, Lord. Open this thing up, Lord. I want You to heal me and bless me. It pierces. It's sharp. It divides. It enters in the joints. Now, a joint is a marvelous thing. Well, I've seen some well put together pieces of furniture. Not a nail involved. All hand joints dovetailed, everything fitting perfect. And that's a prized piece of furniture to get a hold of if you find some. And here the Word of God is able to find a place to enter in those joints. Those joints. Just get right in those joints, those close-fitting places. Oh, God, help us. Help us all now. Entering into the joints. And here's talking here about, I see a picture of man. Man just exposed before God. The Word of God entering into the joints and on further and closer and yet more implications of the marrow, right down into the marrow. And there's something about the life source of man in his marrow. The life is in there. And we're talking about the Word of God is able to enter right down in your life, how you live and where you are, exactly who you are and what you are. I thank God tonight. And He's who He is and can do this. What about this one? A discerner of the thoughts and the intents. You know, we often, that old brother used to say this, God can read bad writing. You know, some folks have a handwriting and you look at it and shake your head. I can hardly make it out. But God can read all the bad handwriting. He knows what you mean, see? If you have the right purpose and the right intention and the right motive and the right spirit, God knows that. And on the other hand, if your motive is off, if your intention is off, if your spirit is off, He knows that too. He knows it too. Oh, this is serious, isn't it? Praise the Lord. We can't ease in here with a motive that's not right and not know that God doesn't really know it. God isn't really in tune with it. May God help us, a spirit. Spirits, 13th verse says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And we have to do with Him, folks, tonight. It's the Lord that we have to stand before. It's the Lord that we're living before. It's the Lord who looks on and knows everything about us. The little song the children used to sing. My Lord is writing. My Lord is writing. My Lord is writing all the time. Sees all you do. Isn't that an awesome thought? Sees all you do. Hears all you say. My Lord is writing all the time. Sees and hears and knows everything. God help us now. This is an awesome God. He is a God that there are no secrets and there is nothing that He doesn't penetrate. And His purpose in penetrating these places is to cause us to soften and to tender and to flow down before Him and allow Him to work and be God and Lord of our life. Spirits. We're dealing with spirits. God help us now. We serve God with our spirit, folks. You know that? We serve Him with our spirit. He said, oh, I sing and I testify and I speak up, but you serve Him with your spirit. You serve God from the flowings and workings within that come out. That's how we serve Him. Jesus said in one place, this people, He was speaking of a group, they do honor Me with their lips. You don't serve Him with your lips. Their hearts are far from Me. He was speaking of the spirits they manifest. Yes, they served Him with their lips. We've got place after place, assembly after assembly. That's only lip service to God. Don't you know He knows that? He knows when it's lip service and when it's heart service. Let's give Him heart service. Praise the Lord. Let's look at another scripture in the 9th chapter of Luke. And we'll read, starting here, the 52nd verse. Luke 9:52. I sent messengers. Well, 51. It came to pass when the time was come that He should be received up, He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. And sent messengers before His face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for Him. God help us. And they, the Samaritans, did not receive Him because His face was as though He would go to Jerusalem. And when His disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt Thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Lord, help us. Let's get a picture here. They didn't give the reception to the Lord that the disciples felt He should have. I marvel at this. It was the Lord they were refusing and rejecting. It was the disciples who were stirred up. What kind of spirit do you have? What kind of spirit do you have? Why, it's not even pertaining to you. And you're all worked up. Check your spirit. God help us now. Check your spirit. Doesn't even pertain to you. They're talking to Mr. Jones. And here comes Mr. Smith. Fired up. Check your spirit. See? It was Jesus they had rejected. The disciples could have taken their cue from the Lord. They could have watched Him and seeing how He responded and seeing it didn't bother Him, then praise God, it doesn't bother us either. But no. Master. What about us calling down fire out of heaven? Let's burn them up. Folks, that spirit is dangerous. That's very dangerous. Burn them up, Lord. And thank the Lord, He didn't pat them on the back and say, eat them up, boys. He didn't commend that thing at all. He didn't give them one iota of an indication that what they were saying was acceptable to Him. Folks, God help us now. Got anybody you want to burn up? Burn them up! Sometimes we get pretty happy and the Spirit of God is flowing real free. And we get real caught up in the love of the Lord and love this Word. But it's never with an intent to do damage or harm to the soul. We're not here to burn anybody up. We didn't come here to burn anybody up. Burn them up, brother. No, no, watch it now. What kind of spirit's working in you? And so this was their thoughts, Lord. They didn't receive You and we don't like the way they treated You. Let's let the Lord speak for Himself about treatment. God help us. Now watch. The Lord answered them. 55. But He turned and rebuked them. a rebuke from the Lord.
He rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Now I get a thought out of this.
I believe we can give place at times, folks, to the wrong spirit. Not necessarily this be our everyday spirit, but we get in a place where we just give vent to the wrong thing. And he can say, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of right now. Get the point? These brethren might have been all right a minute or two ago. Everything might have been real good. But in this place, and let's try to understand what fueled and stirred them up this way. We have to go over in John, the 4th chapter, and the first few verses of that, to see what fueled this thing up. And when you begin to see what fuels people up, you'll find out what kind of spirits they give vent to. Now watch. And therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard. This is John 4. He baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. Verse 3. He left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. There's a Samaria again. Watch. On down, he goes through this parcel of ground of Jacob and so forth. And wanted to redeem a little time here now. Getting on down, a woman came. We know the story. And then on down in about the 9th verse, Jesus is conversing with this woman. It says, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him. Jesus asked her for water. How is it that thou being a Jew, we're getting at the root of this thing now, thou being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Now we get an idea what stirred these fellows up here. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Oh, that's why it's hot like that. That's why. That's just an overreaction. No, there's some things steeping and brewing that are deep-seated down inside that the Word of God wants to penetrate and uncover. God, help us now. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. The Samaritans had no dealings with the Jews. Jesus sent word, I'm coming through. Who wouldn't receive Jesus? Except he's a Jew. So James and Peter said, let's burn them up. Old long-standing feud, huh? Oh, long-standing, deep-seated, deep-rooted feud. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. Notice Jesus must needs go through Samaria. I understand that anyone traveling that route that was a Jew didn't must needs go through no Samaria. They went around Samaria. Some things that we don't want to have contact with, we avoid them. Check your spirit. Ooh, there comes brother so-and-so. Ooh, let me get out of here. Check your spirit. Meet him right there and greet him. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord, brother. Ooh, I want to see her. Woo. Gone. Check your spirit. Why don't you want to meet her? Getting close now, aren't we? I just don't want to talk to her right now. I mean, what manner of spirit are you of right now? What manner? What kind of spirit? What kind of spirit? You ever run up on someone? You never really get to the place where you feel that you're really freely communing together and you wonder what's wrong. What kind of spirit is this? Never flow. Never seem to break over the barriers and the places and just say, my brother, my brother, my sister, my sister. What manner of spirit? You'll check something out. It's there. Something's there. The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper. Amen, than any two-edged sword. There was a man over in Honduras, demonstrating a sharpening tool. Never seen anything quite like it. And he was sharpening his machete, and he's just talking, and he's stroking it with this little tool. And he takes a sheet of paper and holds it up. I understand very little Spanish. Enough, just a little. And he took that machete and pulled it up and just... He didn't just with a lot of force. He laid that machete on it. I said, "Ooh!" Everybody in the crowd said, "Ooh! Sharp! I wouldn't want that on me." See, it's sharp. Folks, the Word of God is sharp. And He's dividing and He's separating and singling out. The things that are an offense to Him, He will separate them out. Amen. He'll separate them out. Those things are an offense to Him. All right, now. You don't know what spirit you are. What spirit you are. You know I want, of all the things. We talked a little about this. We touched around it. Of all the things in my walk with God, I want the right spirit. All the time. Oh, I want the right spirit. Oh, I want to be appropriate. I want to be what I'm supposed to be in every situation, the right spirit. Oh, when somebody slaps your face, sister, glory to God, what's the right spirit for them? Turn the other cheek. That's the right spirit. See what I'm talking about? When your face gets slapped, till your ears ring. Maybe you've never been hit that hard. That's a place to be in. Your ears ringing. Insulted. Humiliated. Oh, what manner of spirit are you of? What kind of spirit right now? God help us. The Spirit of God? Are we giving vent to something else? Our spirit, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That's Romans 8. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. At that moment, is there a bearing witness of spirits? Amen. All right, what's the right spirit? When He was reviled. Come on. He reviled not again. It's no mystery. You know what the right spirit is? It's right here. We're taught what the right spirit is. But to have the right spirit and to know the right spirit can be this far apart. It's an operation of God in my soul. Let the Word of God, one writer said, dwell in your heart richly. Let the Word provoke you to seek God at an altar of prayer. Let my spirit be right. This didn't accidentally happen. You're going to have to plow. You're going to have to get on your face and ask God for help through these places. I want the right spirit. I realize it's a tough place, but I know You've got the grace, Lord. Bless me. I want the right spirit. I had an experience I'll never forget. I worked at a place for a time, and it was the kind of place that liked to presume upon you. Quitting time's 5:30. Everybody knows that. And I had a boss at about 5:25. Got out these projects. Well, I'm wanting to go home like everybody else. And he's talking real slow and real deliberate, and I'm looking at the clock. We have to take this up tomorrow. You know, I'm saying, my man, we have to do this tomorrow. And he said, And several times I got in a situation where I'm past quitting time. I'm doing these projects. And one time we went off somewhere. I knew we wouldn't make it back quitting time. Finally, we were working. I said, well, all right, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to hurry. And I hurried and hurried. Got all finished. Praise the Lord. He said, oh, that's good. Maybe we can make another one. Oh, how can you do me like this? I mean, I really performed to get this out on my time. Today I'm going to stand up. No more of this. Oh, I told him, I'm not doing it. And I'm going home, you're on my time, and you do this all the time. Oh, I told him. And he said, all right. You've never seen me like this. So I go my way. Down the road, I'm just congratulating myself. He'll leave you alone. A few days after that, he called me into the office. We'd often talk. We're talking there. And he said, Herschel, I got to tell you, you surprised me. Uh-oh. You surprised me. He said, I believe for the first time I got to see the real Herschel. Oh, listen, you can't imagine where that had me. I thought about it, and I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. That's not really the picture. That's not really, how would the right spirit work in something like that? Oh, saint of God, you're going to be called on above and beyond the call of duty. Get ready. You're not going to be able to punch a clock and serve God, folks. You aren't going to be able to call the circumstances and serve God.
That's right.
Oh, listen, the very time when you feel that I need something else and there's something demanding on me, you'd better slow down and find out where's God in all of this.
Yes.
I want the right spirit. The right spirit. He saw something that day that he could pinpoint. And I had to get back to him and say, that was not the right spirit. It wasn't right. That wasn't the right spirit. Oh, principle, nothing. I should have been off and all that. But there was more at stake than a principle of something like a little time. The right spirit. Do you know folks are judging you by your spirit?
Yes, sir.
When they get a taste of your spirit, it's either good or bad.
That's right.
Amen. I tasted his spirit. And tell me, I'm not saying nothing to him. You talk to him. You get folks where they're afraid to approach you and talk to you and can't get close enough to reason with you. Check your spirit. What's repelling them? What's causing them not to want to open up and talk to me? It's my spirit. It's that. Let the word of God plow in me. Oh, yes. David over in, we read at 51 Psalm, said, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew. When he got out and away from God, one of the things that is the earmark of one that's away from God and getting away from God, their spirit changes.
Yes, right.
Amen. You either away from God or you're on your way. Your spirit changes. Your tolerance for holy things and your tolerance for the things of God begins to diminish. Now, I know there's times when we can be in a physical condition, but you even check that in a physical place. We're able, by the grace of God, to have graciousness about us. It's close, isn't it? The devil will impose a spirit upon you, too. I remember Brother Isaac Chandler preached to us. This caught my attention. He said, the devil has a spirit that's very similar to your very own spirit. To the way you like to do things. The way you are. You know, I'm just like this. That kind of thing. They're watching. And he'll try to impose that spirit upon you every time he can. You won't know whether it's the devil or you, see, because I'm just like that. And he'll impose something on you. I thought about that. I thought about that a lot. That'd be a cruel thing. Have something imposed upon you. And how do we get in a shape like that? I believe slackness and looseness. What happened to the disciples? They wanted to burn up these Samaritans. There was a feud going on there. There was something there already. Folks, these places where there's something already is breeding ground for the wrong spirit. These places where little feelings and little rubs and hurts and offenses that have not been resolved by the blood of Jesus is a place for something to brew and fester. Oh, yes. And you are a prime candidate then for the devil to ease the spirit in. Hard feelings and hard, callous, unrelenting, unyielding, unforgiving, unloving spirits. Something's wrong with that. Amen. Something's wrong with it. What spirit are you of? What kind of spirit am I manifesting in this? I have been wrong. I have been grievously wrong. That individual needs the altar in more than I can express tonight. When you have been wrong, you need to pray. But you know how we take it? They need to pray. No, you need to pray. Yes, I agree. They need to pray too, but you need to pray more.
You're the one that's been hurt. You're the one that's been wounded. You're the one that is the potential one to be in trouble in their spirit. He bumped me.
Sure did.
And why should I pray?
Can you see it's eating you up already?
It's eating you up already. It's time for me to pray now. He bumped me, Lord. Yes, he did. And I need help. Help me, Lord, to take the bump like Jesus would take it. Help me to be in the place like Jesus would be. Oh, when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but submitted himself, humbled himself, committed himself. Don't you know you can commit yourself to the one that judges righteously and come out all right every time? There's a passage that says, thou hast caused men to ride over our head. God will let men ride over you. Now that's going to be a test for your spirit. Amen. When someone ignores you and counts you as nothing, what manner of spirit are you of right then? See? It's close, doesn't it? Can you say, well, I agree with them. I'm nothing. That's true. They don't really have to do what I say do. Glory to God. It'd been nice, but that's all right. Oh, do we kind of tighten up a little bit? Listen, folks, I know about this. I've lived in it. I've had to cross it. I've had to beg God. Lord, I don't want the wrong spirit here. I don't want the wrong spirit. And when I see my brother or my sister, guess what pops up? That's all pops up. Big. 3D. Three-dimensional. There he is. What happened, brother? He bumped me, and I'm so weak in my spirit. What spirit am I of? I think about Jesus. We read he was bruised and wounded. A lot of folks stepped on him, didn't they? Stepped on him. We have the perfect example. We have the perfect model, folks. The perfect model. Spit upon. Plucked off the hairs of my cheek. Laid stripes on his back. At any time, if he was of the Spirit, he could have stopped every bit of that and said, burn him up, Holy Father. Yes. Yes. All right now. You think he couldn't stop that? You think he couldn't stop that? The one that they came in the garden and we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Where is he? I am he, and the whole truth of him fell down. And all he did was declare that I am. That I am. I am. I am he. The Lord never sought to be in a spirit or a place. A place, because here is a perfect example for you and I. He sought to be in that place at all times that you and I would be without excuse. Without excuse. Oh, Lord, but it was hard. I don't know, it was tough, Lord. He can tell us a few things that was tough. Yes. Hey, man, that's pretty tough. How'd you go through, Lord? Well, Herschel, I humbled myself and became obedient. Oh, I want the right spirit. When my soul is under siege, help me to humble myself, Lord, and become obedient. Help me, Lord, to humble myself and become obedient. I was in a place one time. I felt I was grossly wronged what was taking place. But I didn't know how to correct what was going on. I didn't know what to say that would make it any better. So I just shut my mouth. Humbled myself and I did everything they wanted me to do. They wanted me not to do this. I didn't do it. They wanted me not to say that no more. I didn't say it. What was happening here? Humbled myself. Humble myself. I'm not going to tell you there wasn't any feelings involved. But I said, oh, God, help me. Humbled myself. There was another brother there. And he said, they're not going to tell me what to do. I'll never forget this. And
he stiffened in all of that and stoutened up and defied everything and didn't humble himself. Today I'm going on in God. And that brother's had nothing but problems. Nothing but problems in his experience. He's got a lot of serious problems today. The Lord brought that back to me way back over there and showed that to me so clear. So that was a crucial place for you. You were in the being wronged and you were not actually wrong. And if you'd have stood up right there, you'd have lost grace with me.
That's right.
You'd have lost out a place with me whereby I would no longer visit your soul and stand behind you. And that made me shiver.
Yes, Lord.
That made me shiver. Oh, I want the favor of the Lord. I want the right spirit. He rebuked Peter and James. And there's no question about the place that they held in the ministry of Jesus and all that they were to be a part of in passing on the truths. He rebuked them. There's some things, folks, somehow we get the wrong estimation of our own worth. This is where a lot of this happens too. If I have a big price tag of my worth, I'm going to be in a place that I'll be easily offended all the time. Oh, I'm asking for it. That's like the old boy with the chip on his shoulder. He set it up on his shoulder and you know somebody's going to knock it off every time. Humble thyself to walk with God. The right spirit. The right spirit. We serve Him with our spirit. Get a hold of this now. Let's look at this scripture, Romans 1 and 9, and brings it out. They were rebuked. They had the wrong spirit. Come not to destroy lives, but to save. The Lord's in the saving business. And if it comes down to any need of rebuking and correcting, don't you ever forget that the Lord is fully able to correct and rebuke and reprove. He's able to do all of it very concisely. He's not as messy as we are. You know, sometimes we try to correct and reprove and rebuke and we're messy with it. The Lord can do it and He's not messy at all. It works. It doesn't involve anybody but whom He's correcting. Glory to God. When we tried, we got too many folks involved in it. We're not as neat as He is in it. Oh, despise not the chastenings and corrections of the Lord. He deals with us as sons, that we might be partakers with Him of His holiness, of His purity. The Lord is concerned about us. All right, I call Romans. I want to read this. We serve Him. Apostle brings this thought out here. Ninth verse says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son." I serve Him with my spirit. You see, God is a spirit. God is spirit. We must recognize in order to worship God, He wants to get us in the right condition where the worship will be what He's looking for. It's in the spirit. It's in spirit. Not in the lip. Not in the pageantry. Not in the tradition. It's in the spirit. God help us. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in the way of holiness. God is pleased to smell and inhale that. And in return, He bestows His graces, blessings upon them. Lord, I want the right spirit at all times. I want the right spirit. Amen. I serve Him with my spirit. God help us now. My daddy told me, after I'd gotten saved and a while, a space there, I appreciate him more and more. He told me, "Son, every religion has its own spirit. There's a spirit to it." And he went further and enlarged upon it. He said, "Also, you find that this religious spirit is the most overbearing spirit one can have." You would think that a religious spirit would be the opposite. God-fearing, God-loving, God-revering. But all religious spirit is a harsh spirit. Oh, it's religious. It's cloaked in long robes. It's got all the looks like it ought to look, supposedly. But when you try to work with that spirit, it can't be worked with. And it's so religious. We're talking about religion versus heartfelt salvation, a religious spirit. Remember, it was in the name of religion that those crusades and those inquisitions were all taking place. That was the name of religion, folks. And every now and then they'd streak God's name through it somewhere. But that was just religion. God help us. Lord, keep me from a religious spirit. Oh, pious spirit. You know not what manner of spirit you're of. It was the religious folks of the day that really persecuted Jesus. Hell, the Pharisees and those were the religious leaders and the ones that were calling the people to look up to and follow. They were the chief persecutors of Christ and the followers of Christ. That ought to tell us plenty right there. But we only serve God with our spirit. What manner of spirit are you of? Let's look in Ephesians a little bit now. Still talking about spirits. I remember I got an illustration one time of a spirit, And the illustration was a glass of water. And, you know, kind of the Kool-Aid effect. Well, spirit is like that. God, the spirit of God, or the spirit that God would have us operate under influence of, is one that is odorless, is tasteless. In other words, it's pure. It's pure spirit. It's a spirit that is easily guided and affected by God's word. It's essential that it is God's spirit that's moving us. Then we have respect to God's word. One that is not of the spirit of God doesn't have the respect to God's word. It doesn't control them. It doesn't move them. It doesn't hold them and direct them. In Ephesians, talking about spirit, 2:2, listen to what he says. Well, 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past, talking about the old life of sin, ye walked according to the course of this world. Listen, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The prince of the power of the air. This is talking about, it's a kind of an abstract thought, but it's talking about that which all around us right now. Remember, a doctor was talking to me one time, and he was telling about we were discussing newborn babies and the procedure and so forth, and he was talking about the germ potential. And he says, you have your set of germs that your body has become accustomed to, and there's billions of them. You just carry them around, and they're there all the time. And I didn't get any further than that, and I saw this host of whatever, these germs all around me, charged, following me, on the clothes and all. And this is why they want to have such precaution with the newborn child, because you introduce them to what you have. Now watch me real close here, folks. Not only is that true in a sense of science, but we have about us a kind of an aura, if you say, a spirit about us that anyone we come in contact with, we introduce them to our spirit. We affect them by our spirit. You move and affect people by the spirit you're of. That's what they're responding to. That's what repels or draws you about certain individuals. It's the spirit. Oh, that's close, isn't it? It repels or draws you. Oh, I just appreciate this brother, this sister. There's something about them that's genuine. What about this brother over here? Well, I want the same thing, but you know, we're miscording. Something's wrong. Something's wrong here. Folks, this can't be fake. You can't pretend with this. It's no way that you can do anything about it because it's the way it is. Thank God. Now, I could disguise myself like an astronaut. Put on that outfit and that big helmet and all of that and NASA and so forth. That doesn't make me an astronaut. Yeah, he's got on astronaut clothes. Look at him. God help us. Then I could be in another situation. Didn't have any of those things. But everything about me was geared and trained and programmed, and my whole being was intentionally involved in that. And there would be things that portrayed and just betrayed me. See? That just stood right out and betrayed me. Most of the times what we deal with is so surface and so superficial. I remember the first time I heard a brother preaching the gospel. Never met him in my life. I did not know him. But I declare I couldn't sit on my bench. The Spirit that was moving and animating him blessed my soul. It agreed and witnessed. Oh, it's like that with God. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Folks, this can't be faked. I can't say, God, accept my spirit. No. Can't do it that way. It's not done that way. How's it done? By yielding. By yielding before Him when the Word comes and it pierces night after night in a meeting like this. There should not fail altar work. This is revival time. The Holy Ghost is pinpointing needs.
Yes,
yes. Amen. The Lord stirred me from an almost well bed, sick bed. Go to this camp meeting. I said, oh Lord, I can hardly walk across the room. How can I go to camp meeting? 3 services a day, 10 days long, late night this, and oh, praying for that, Lord, how can I do it? I settled myself down. I said, well, Lord, you mean for me to go? You have to heal my body. You have to bless this body. You know the Lord did that? And that isn't the first time He's done that. But here's what I got out of that. He meant for me to be there. And He also meant, because I'm yielded to Him and I'm consecrated out to Him like I am, He also meant for this vessel to be a means of the Word going forth for His children.
That's right.
He meant that. Listen, I know when God has me on a mission. I know when God's dealing with my soul. Glory to God, He's touched my spirit, see. Oh, listen, folks. And the Lord sends the meeting. He sends the Word. He tailors it to the needs.
Yes, brother.
Maybe you've heard it this way, and I'll say it. God's Spirit doesn't shoot blanks. Amen. Brother said they were deer hunting. And a big buck ran out across the field, and you heard, pop, 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 pop. Oh, we missed it. One brother said, nope, look, blood. Oh, I see blood dripping around here. Blood's dripping around. Pop, 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 pop. You missed. No, we didn't miss. We didn't miss. Holy Spirit didn't miss. Oh, that old buck ran a little space, and then he just gave out. Folks, it's time to give up. Hey, man, it's time to give up, and Lord, bless my spirit. Because it's affecting others. It's affecting me. It's having an effect on the servants. Bless my spirit. Amen. There's a dear, precious brother at home. I remember a time when he was in trouble. He'd gotten himself in trouble. You know, sometimes folks, when they get in trouble, worst thing you can do is build walls around yourself when you get in trouble. It's the worst thing you can do. If you're in trouble, and you got enough love of the Lord to realize I'm in trouble, don't build walls. Don't build the walls. This brother built walls around himself. He'd still come to me, thank the Lord for that. But he'd look out the window. Preaching the Word of God, singing the holy songs. He's looking out the window. He never got any help. As long as he kept looking out the window. You know when he got help? He turned his face toward where the Word was being preached and began to ask God for mercy, and he got help. Don't build walls around yourself when you get in trouble. What manner of spirit are you of?
Ooh, I'm having some trouble. I don't need walls now. I need to open up all the avenues that God can touch me.
That's right.
Amen. You know one of the best places to start? Remember when you first came to the Lord. Do you remember how it was when you first yielded to the Lord? Remember how tender you were, how eager you were to just please Him alone and just to be His child and just to have that satisfaction? You remember that? You're thinking now, aren't you? You were real easy to get close to then, weren't you? Oh, if the preacher said, let us all stand now. Let us be seated. Oh, glory! There was something about you. It was easy to work with. Your spirit was right. Your spirit was there. You were easy to teach, easy to lead, easy to work with. And you grew and you grew and you grew. Now, if you're not still growing, you can check your spirit. If you stop growing, you can check your spirit. If you feel bogged down. Had a brother come to me one time. He said, I feel like I'm not moving in the Lord like I'm supposed to. I love to hear him say that. He feels like he's not moving in the Lord. I said, what do you think's wrong? I don't know. I just feel bogged up and tied up. I said, maybe you are. Maybe you're as bogged up and tied up as you feel. Now let's start digging into it. Ask God to have mercy on you. Take you back to where you started. When you loved Him and you was tender and you were easy to get to. Let's go back to that. You know what we find in most cases, most times? Remember those Samaritans and Jews, something got in. Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. James and Peter said, let's burn them up. That Samaritan woman said, how can you ask water from me? Don't you know there were barriers, there were things that had gotten in the way? A simple cup of water. Who do we have to be to give that? What kind of place do we have to be to give that? May I have a cup of water? No! I'm giving you nothing. Listen, folks, we can get in some bad places. What do you want? Water. And I wouldn't give him a cup of water. I wouldn't give him the time of day. Check your spirit. Check your spirit. God help us. Cup of cool water. And she was hung up on, you know we don't have no dealings. He asked for water, not dealings. God help us. I want water. I don't talk about that. I'm thirsty. Give him his water and send him on his way. No, we don't have no dealings. Lord help us. And these others wanted to burn them up. See, both were in trouble. They were in trouble. You want to burn folks up, and if you're in a place where you just, I have no dealings, you better check your spirit. God wants us to start dealing, folks. Open your heart up. I got a thought one time. It looked like our home was a... What is this? What do you call this place? The old train stations were there. A junction. Our home seemed like it was a junction at one time. I mean, people were in and out of there and coming and going and different needs and one thing and the other. And I said, whoa. And I got to thinking, well, this is the way it's supposed to be. We're the people of God. Why? We're supposed to have souls in and out and feeding them and working with them and guiding them and praying for them. Sure, homes are to be a junction, a haven, a beacon place. Our hearts are to be the same way, letting souls come in and experience my spirit. Let them taste it. The writer said, oh, taste and see. The Lord is good. How do you taste God? Folks, it's the spirit that you taste. Oh, I can taste your spirit. You can taste mine. Oh, we need to share with one another. Feed one another. Glory to God. Not with long-handled spoons. Taste my spirit, brother. Sister, taste my spirit. Oh, that's water. Let me taste yours. That's good. That's figurative. You don't taste the spirit literal. But the taste of the spirit is when we come to the place where we're clear with God and man. Amen. Clear with God and man. The Apostle Paul declared, I am clear. The blood of all men.
I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. Now, how does that transfer down to everyday living? Is there anybody I've shunned anything? Am I shunning my kindness? Am I shunning my hospitality? I'm not shunned. God, help us. I've done all I can. I appreciate something about my mother. Many things. There's some things that stand out. To me, they're outstanding. You never come to her home or where she resides and not be received in the warmest and most Christ-like way. I appreciate that. You can bring a stack of folks unannounced. Didn't have time to call, Mother, and we were passing through, and these are some of the brethren and so forth. And you don't feel like she wants you to hurry up and leave. Oh, there's something about our spirit, folks. Something about it. There's something about it that draws. And you find folks. I've had folks just come over to our house, and they come and sit down and say, "Oh, I love to be here. It's so peaceful here." No, it doesn't seem any more peaceful than any place else to me. But what are they experiencing? There's a peace here. There's a pureness. There's a desire that's without deceit and hypocrisy to let God be supreme in the place. That's the peace they feel. That's why they feel like, "I want to sit here on your porch in your yard." It's not because my yard is better than anyone else. In fact, sometimes it's less in provisions. I've had folks come in and just literally invite themselves to dinner. "Oh, I just came around. Y'all get ready to eat?" So, "Well, we're hitting it pretty close here. We got just little potatoes. And that's all right. Praise God."
All right.
Okay? And that'd be nothing real big. It's the spirit. It wasn't that the meal was such a well-planned big. It's the spirit that they were enjoying and feasting on. Got a few potatoes out here, and everybody just smiling and eating, looking at one another. I'll tell you, it humbled my heart. One of those dear souls that, passing through the junction, wrote back and said, "The highlights of my stand with you, the thing that impressed me most, that has touched me the most, is how you gather together at the table and how you sit there together and pray and look at one another and be together." Oh, that broke me down. Lord, I want the right spirit. I want souls to feel it. I want to be able to communicate that. I want them to know it's genuine. There's nothing in it but the pureness of Christ. What spirit are you of? God help us. It's far-reaching, isn't it? And yet we are still working on being those frontline soldiers. Amen. Oh, I get really caught up in this because I believe it with all my heart. I believe this is what draws. That scripture says of Christ, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." How do we lift Christ up? How can I lift him up? How can I do it? I believe right in this very area is how we all can lift up Christ, by having a clean, pure spirit. Lift him up. Oh, it draws, folks. You won't be able to keep people away from you. You won't be able to keep them from wanting to be like you. Amen. That's what we're after. You know, a lot of times we're inviting folks, "You come to worship with us." Well, you come to, you get your spirit right. And they'll be saying, "Please take me. Take me where you worship. Amen. I want to go where you go." What did Ruth discern in Naomi? "I'll go with you. Your people will be my people. I give up what I have." Listen, there's a power when the spirit is right. There's a power there. Naomi just gave up everything that she could have had. "Stop trying to persuade me to go back. Your people will be my people." That's sight unseen. She knew Naomi, but what kind of people? You know, sometimes there's a, "I like you, but your people are something else." "Amen. I married you, honey, but your family, woo." See?
so confident that the spirit that I desert in you is the spirit that I'm looking for in your people. You know it's like that with the people of God? Amen. You blessed here among the saints of God. Don't you know you'll be blessed elsewhere with the saints of God? It's the same spirit. It's the same spirit. Oh, I've found it that way, and I don't want it ever to change. So, to ensure that, I work on my spirit. Lord, I want to have the right spirit. I don't want to be the oddball. Amen. It drove somebody away. I was out of tune, see. This is delicate, what we're talking about. But it's so true and so vital. The right spirit. Now, just a little more. We're reading here. It's Ephesians. We haven't received the spirit of the world. I think that's what we're after now. No, children of disobedience. The spirit that works in the children of disobedience. The prince of the power of the air. The spirit that works in the children of disobedience. The air is charged, literally charged. Spirits. Unclean. Spirits that will take advantage of places where we've been hurt. Frustrated. Taking advantage of. Mistreated. All of these wounding places are places where we need to be on our knees. If you feel you've been mistreated, you need to start praying. Lord, help me have right spirit. I need the right spirit. I need the right spirit. I need the right spirit. When you can come up out of that, no malice, as Abraham Lincoln said it, malice to none, love to all. Oh, listen, malice to none. Glory to God. If I could help you, if I could do you some good, I'm ready to do it right now. If you need me, you call. If I discern you need me, I'll call you. I'm not going to stay away. I'm going to seek you out. I appreciate Brother Lewis and other brethren. Brother Lewis has taught me many lessons. One of the main lessons that he's taught me is don't give up. When you know the odds are hard, stay right there. Be the same all the time. You're going to win after a while. Glory to God. You'll win after a while. We need the right spirit to do that. We get weak and faint in our spirits. We give up. They don't want nothing. How do you know? She doesn't want anything. How do you know? Check your spirit. Check your spirit. Sometimes what we're offering isn't worth anybody wanting it. Think about that. There's a spirit that charges disobedience. The force behind it is the enemy of souls. There is a spirit of God that charges and animates all righteousness and godliness and truth. That's the spirit we want to know more and more and more about. I do. And I believe others also. It looks like the time just crawls away. But let's try to close tonight, and with this thought on our hearts, let's try the spirits and see whether they are God. That's there, isn't it? Now I'm going to check myself and see whether this is God. How am I going to do it? I'm going to do it by the word of God. And I tell you this, and I don't have to do a lot of researching on it. I know from experience and by the word of God. If you find yourself in a place that you have to defend your actions, check your spirit. Check your spirit. Check your spirit. The things that are of God, they flow. I don't have to apologize for them. I don't have to try to guard them. And they'll still be drawing and wooing. That woman said, "How can you ask water of me?" That didn't turn the Lord around. He still waited for his water. And not only that, what did he say? "I'm going to give you living water." Oh, I've got something to give you. When our spirit is right, we've got something to give. I'll give you living water. You drink this water and you'll thirst again and again and again. The water that I give, you won't thirst anymore. She got interested. God help us. I believe right here, if I could call it the
secret, really being successful in winning souls to Christ, being instrumental in God using you to lead souls to righteousness, has to do altogether with the kind of spirit we are of. I believe it. I believe it. Oh, when the spirit is right, it's like that tree that the birds want to lodge in the branches. Oh, they just want to lodge there, just satisfied to sit on the branch. Give me a little branch, I'm all right. Amen. May God bless us all and help us all. The Lord is able to help us in our spirit. I want to leave that thought. We can pray tonight, Lord, I want the right spirit at all times. And it suggested in the message tonight that there will be situations that maybe I was all right until that particular word was said, or till that particular person showed up, or until it was that kind of a situation. Now, God can help us right there too. Amen. God can help us right there. Pray for me.